So it's now time for our reading. So our postman's going to come up.
I want to be encouraged by news about you, so I hope the Lord Jesus will soon let me in Timothy to you. I don't have anyone else who cares about you as much as he does. The others think only about what interests them and not about what concerns Christ Jesus. But you know what kind of person Timothy is. He has worked with me like a son in spreading the good news. I hope to send him to you as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me. And I feel sure that the Lord will also let me come soon. I think I ought to send my dear friend Epaphroditus back to you. He is a follower and worker and a soldier of the Lord, just as I am. You sent him to look after me, but now he is eager to see you. He is worried because you heard he was sick. In fact, he was very sick and almost died. But God was kind to him and also to me, and he kept me from being burdened down with sorrow. Now I am more eager than ever to send Epaphroditus back again. You will be glad to see him, and I won't have to worry any longer. Be sure to give him a cheerful welcome, just as people who serve the Lord deserve. He almost died working for Christ, and he risked his own life to do for me what you could not.
Thank you. Thank you to the Children's Music Group. You've done a fabulous job. And to Sam and Matt, how good are they? It's nice that I haven't had to lead the service and speak. Quite appreciate them stepping into that role. I've been told that I have to tell you that Matt's younger than Sam. Not quite sure why I have to tell you that, but I've been informed. So we're going to have a look at that passage now. So first, I want you to have a little think and talk to the people around you for a minute. Yeah, so I want you to have a little think about who your best friends is. We've got a little picture on the slide of Sam and Matt. They've been best friends since before then, actually. They've known each other since Matt was born, because he's younger. So they've been friends forever. So just have a think and talk to the people around you. Who is your best friend? Why? Why are they your best friend? What do you do together? What do you talk about? What is it about that person that makes them your best friend? I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to think about that, and then we're going to have a look at what Paul says about best friends. Okay. If you want to bring your conversations to a close, lots of good reasons for being friends with the people that we love. In this part of Philippians that Tally so brilliantly read with all those long words and difficult names, we're going to look at two of Paul's best friends and why it is that he considers them his best friends, what qualities he thinks are really important in the people that he's friends with. So just to kind of refresh over the last few weeks, we're still in chapter 2 of Philippians, and at the very beginning of chapter 2, Paul gives us that really brilliant description of Jesus, of who he was, of what he did, and of how and why he died. And it's that passage that we've got our network groups remembering or trying to remember. I don't know how you're all getting on. I know I've given about 2 prizes to my group so far. They've learnt about half of it. Some of them have. Some are doing much better than others. Abigail there, smiling broadly. She's won a prize so far for her great memorising. But we chose that passage because it's such a great reminder of who Jesus is. It's quite succinct. It's not like we've got you to memorize the whole of Mark. It's just a very nice little explanation of the gospel that can help us through life remember who Jesus is. And then Paul goes on to talk about why we should live in the way that he's telling us to live. And that's because of who Jesus was. So he's teaching us that because of Jesus, we should change how we act. We should do everything with joy, not complaining. And we should show people by how we live that we're Christians and that we follow Jesus. Paul then moves on to talk about these two great friends. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think he's teaching us that these are people who do those things that he's just been talking about. I think he's telling us, look, these people do that, and you can learn from them. I think there's three things in this passage that Paul brings up as the things that best friends do for each other. And I'm going to tell you them now, and hopefully you can remember them as we go through, and you can help me remember each point along the way. And Sam and Matt are going to come back up again, and they're going to tell us how these things have happened in their friendship. Yeah, if you want to come back up. So the three things that you need to remember are that best friends should have shared faith, have shared priorities, and help each other. So we've got little cards to go up at each one as we go through. So you'll know when we're getting to the end. You'll be very relieved. Okay, so shared faith, shared priorities, and helping each other. Try and remember them. So this is a very difficult question for you. Who can remember the first one? Shared faith. It's still on the screen. I do know. I said it was a difficult question. So shared faith. Paul says that friends should have shared faith. There you go. One of you can hold that for me. Thank you. So Paul makes it very clear that the reason that Timothy and Epaphroditus are good friends is because they share his faith in Jesus. He tells the Philippians that Timothy is concerned about the things that concern Christ. He says that Epaphroditus is a follower, worker, and soldier of the Lord. Paul calls them his dear friends because they share the same beliefs as him and because they have that fellowship together. They all serve one another in service to Jesus. They have common ground that they can share. They have a shared community of faith in the church, and they have a shared commitment to each other as Christian family. Paul makes very, very clear from the beginning of this passage that their shared priority is Jesus, and that that's why they're friends. Many of us here at St. Giles can be really grateful for the friendship that we have here. I know I am. So I think it would be really good to just take a moment to pause and to think about the friends that we have here at church, to thank God for the people that he's placed here, and to pray for those people that have supported us and encouraged us. So we're just going to take a moment, and then Sam and Matt are going to tell us how their shared faith has helped their friendship. So just a moment to pray. Okay, Sam, Matt, how has having a shared faith featured in your friendship with each other?
Well, as we said, we've been friends basically forever, and that's basically from knowing each other through church. We've been going up through the youth groups, through Zone and stuff like that forever, but also through Soul Survivor. Going to Soul Survivor has really made a big impact on both of our lives. And also we've started going to the Christian Union at our church, which is on every month. At our school, not our church. Well, we go.
This is a Christian union as well. It's fine.
Yeah, this is technically Christian. But at our school, and basically every Monday lunchtime, we just go and it's learn about the Bible and we pray and just meet with other Christians at our church, at our school. focus on church. At our school, a lot of them, we didn't even know they were Christians because people don't talk about it. So that's really, really nice to know.
So best friends have shared faith. Who can remember the next thing that best friends have? Priorities, shared priorities. Well done. So Paul talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus sharing his priorities and the priorities of Jesus. So their shared faith is what builds their priorities. And Paul talks about it as though these are the main qualifications that they have to be his friends. This is what makes them such good friends. Sorry, I haven't given you your... There you go. So Paul in this passage is commending Timothy to the church in Philippi. He's telling them why Timothy is the right person to send to them in Paul's place. He's saying, Timothy's great. He's really focused on Jesus and really cares about you. He's going to be the best person to go in my place. He reminds them, you know him and you trust him, and he will help you just like I would if I could go. He tells them that Timothy has served alongside him. He says, like a son. And he actually kind of changes that saying slightly as he says it. So as the Philippians would have read or heard that letter, they would have been expecting Paul to say that Timothy, like a son, had served Paul well. But actually what he says is he served with me well in the work of Jesus. I think Paul's using that to make it really, really clear that Timothy's first priority is Jesus, and that their shared priority is serving Jesus above everything else. Epaphroditus also shares that priority. Paul calls him a co-worker and a fellow soldier. And they share the priority together of caring for the Philippian church. Timothy, Paul says, cares for the Philippian church more than anyone else Paul knows. And Epaphroditus is eager to see the church again because he knows that they've been worried about him. They all share that priority. Even in prison, Paul's writing this letter, and it's a letter of concern for the church. It's a letter of teaching. He doesn't sit back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm in prison. Oh, it's so boring, I can't do anything. I've only got these two people to look after me. He tells them about the joy that they can have in Jesus and the way that they should be fellowshipping together and spending time together. In prison, Paul has these two friends, like I just said, but he doesn't keep them close together. He's sending them both back to Philippi, and he's telling them, there's no one else like these people that are going to care for you in the way that I could. Paul's priority is for them to go to Philippi and continue doing the work of the gospel. He isn't thinking about himself, he's thinking about furthering the gospel, and they share that priority. It's good for us, too, to take stock of our priorities every once in a while. Lent is starting in a couple of weeks' time, and that's a really good opportunity for us to rethink and refocus. How do we keep Jesus as the main priority in our lives? How do we focus on him and not get caught up in school or work? What can we do to make sure that, like Timothy, Epaphroditus, and Paul, our main focus is Jesus, and our priorities are Jesus' priorities? I know what stories you're about to tell, so I'm slightly scared of what you're going to say, but how has having shared priorities worked in your friendship?
So at Seoul a couple of years ago, I feel like we got pranked, and we decided to do a counter prank. So we worked together, and we got the cable ties we'd brought, and we cable tied our friend into her tent so she couldn't get out. So, yeah, we had to work together to do that, and it worked really well. She was in there quite a while until someone went round with scissors and cut all the cable ties. But that's just one of the ways we've worked together for a shared interest.
Sharing Jesus' priorities, as I made clear to them I would be talking about. Okay, so best friends need shared faith, shared priorities, and what's the last one that best friends need? To help each other, thank you very much. Best friends need to help each other. In this really short passage, we see all three of the people involved helping each other in different ways. They do that sacrificially. They don't expect it to benefit themselves, but they know that what they're doing is going to benefit the other person and help them. So we'll start with Timothy. Timothy is helping Paul by going to Philippi. He has travelled with Paul since he was a teenager. He's probably still quite young, and Paul is like a father figure to him. He has learnt from Paul, he's been with Paul, and now Paul is in prison and Timothy is going on his own to Philippi. He's doing that because he knows that the church in Philippi needs him, and because he knows that Paul can't go himself. Timothy is going to Philippi because he loves them and is concerned for them. Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Paul makes clear that he would like to go with Timothy, but that he isn't able to, and that Timothy is the only appropriate person to go in his place and to love Philippi as Paul himself would have loved them. Epaphroditus is also serving Paul. He's come from Philippi. We saw in that brilliant video from Rob just how far it was. 220-something hours, I think it said. That's not taking into account stopping for food or rest. So I'm sure it would have taken much longer if Epaphroditus wanted to sleep or eat at any point during that journey. And he'd come all the way to bring Paul gifts and to take care of Paul while he was trapped in prison. Not trapped, you know. While he was on his journey, or while he got to Rome, he got sick, and he was so sick that he nearly died. But rather than saying, this is just too much, I'm going to go home, he stayed and he helped Paul. Once he got better, he stuck around and he supported Paul. And Paul is the one that sends Epaphroditus back. He makes that very clear in the letter. One of the commentaries that I read said that they think it's because the Philippians would have been quite cross with Epaphroditus for coming home. They think that maybe they would have been saying, but we sent you, why have you come back? So Paul's making it very clear, I've chosen this, I've made him go. So he's making that point that although Epaphroditus had come to stay and to help him, he chose to send him back because he knew that that was the right thing for Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was worrying about the church because they knew that he'd been sick. And Paul was worrying about Epaphroditus because he was worried. So Paul, rather than being selfish and saying, thanks very much for sending him, don't worry, he's fine, he's going to stick around, but I've sent you Timothy, he says, don't worry, he is fine, and he's coming home. So Sam, Matt, how have you helped each other in your friendship? Do you do this?
One of the ways we've helped each other is the first Soul Survivor we went to, I'd hurt my finger and couldn't wash up. What a shame. So Matt did my washing up for me and I did his drying up for him as a way to just balance it out.
And last Soul Survivor, we ended up in a little bit of a predicament. Our youth group, there wasn't really enough space on the campsite for our whole youth group. So it ended up there was this woman and she was basically telling us where to put our tent. And our pod ended up like half on the road. So me being a very heavy sleeper said that I'd take the little bit that was sticking out onto the road, even though it meant I didn't get the best night's sleeps. But
he says half on the road. There was about that much of the tent that was on the road. It wasn't in the middle of the road.
For anyone concerned.
There were no cars. Okay, so best friends have shared faith, shared priorities, and they help each other, just like Sam and Matt, although we should maybe question some of those priorities. So what about us? Yeah, you helped each other in that picture. So what might we do to be best friends? John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And by doing that, we will find that it brings true joy, that there is real joy in giving and serving one another. So what might we do to be best friends to the people around us? Friends like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. We're really fortunate that we have such a great church that we can come together and be with our friends here, that we can be filled up for the week ahead. But it's important that we remember that when we go out, we should be living like Jesus and showing love and helping people around us. One of the things that we can do to help our friends and the people around us is to pray for them. So we're going to do that now. You should all have a piece of paper and a pencil. If you don't, I think there are some boxes of pens at either door, if you'd like to grab one. And what we're going to do is we're going to write down prayer requests on the paper. So something that we would like prayer for ourselves. And then we're going to fold them into a paper aeroplane, as Sam and Matt have demonstrated. And we're going to throw them as far as we can. And someone will pick up our aeroplane. So once you've thrown your aeroplane, you can pick someone else's up. And we're going to have some music playing. We're going to just pray for the prayer requests as we pick them up. And then it would be really great if we could take those aeroplanes home with us and continue praying for that person. So you don't need to put your name on your aeroplane. God knows who it was that wrote it anyway. But we'll just take it and keep praying for that person, because praying for our friends is a really important way that we can help them. And once we finish, the Bennett family are going to come up and they're going to continue our prayer.